97.5 The Fanatic.
A happy and blessed Sunday afternoon, everybody in the Delaware Valley. I am Rob Motti. Good to be with you once again this weekend. Josh Rabick here with me. He will be producing the show, taking your calls the next 4 hours. 610-632-0975. And I want to have some fun today because I'm tired of listening to Blake Snell over and over. I heard that interview countless times, and baseball's got all these potential, a 67-page rule book, and all this stuff that they're hoping and they're wanting to do. And I understand that there's so much to get through before we can actually see these leagues and these unions come to an agreement to bring sports back. So what I want to do with you today, you could talk about all that, and you want to complain about Blake Snell. You got an issue with Bryce Harper sticking up with him. You think baseball can't handle guys not spitting, not high-fiving, whatever. We could talk about that. We could talk about the NFL owners proposing a change to the Rooney Rule where they want to give incentives to teams if they hire a minority coach. We did this yesterday. We talked about it. We could continue that today. But what I want to do is I want to have some fun. I want to have some fun with you. And I want to go back. See, I want to go back. I want to look back at some fun times in sports, you know, when they actually played. I want to go back to my childhood when I fell in love with sports at age 6. I want to look at it and go, give me, there's already a little, I put it out on Twitter and the comments are starting to roll in. So I want you to give me your guy, your core four, each Philly sports team, one from each team, each decade since the 80s. Now, it doesn't have to be your favorite player, doesn't have to be the best player, could be your most identifiable player. It could be the worst guy, but he sticks out to you because you hated him so much for whatever reason. Whoever it is, when you go 1980s Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles, 1990s, 2000s, and the 2010s. One guy, each team, each sport, each decade. I'll kick you off with my 80s guys. And like I said, the 80s is when I fell in love with the sport. That's when I fell in love with all, especially baseball. I started playing wiffle ball in the backyard with my brother and our friends. And I would imitate stances. I learned how to switch hit, bat left-handed, because I loved Don Mattingly. I would do the Cecil Cooper Milwaukee Brewers first baseman stance, and I learned how to hit left-handed doing that. So baseball was my first love. And then Buddy Ryan came to Philly and declared, we got a winner in town. And I got to see Randall play the Ultimate Weapon cover on Sports Illustrated that I still have. The Monday night game, Jimmy Giles, touchdown pass 2 yards after Carl Banks hits Randall. So easily, you know, 80s, I'm going to go Randall for the Eagles. That was my guy. Now you can go Reggie White. He was the best player. He was a Hall of Famer. But my guy was Randall. I almost wanted to go Buddy. That's how much I loved Buddy as a kid. In baseball, I got to go with Michael Jack. I wrote a book about him 10 years ago, and growing up, like I could have never imagined that one day, one, I'd write a book about him, two, I'd be friendly with him, we'd have a relationship like that. to the point where sometimes, you know, we're having conversations at spring training, and Mike, man, he could talk, and I'd be running from one spot to another, and I got to get somewhere, and he'd stop, and we just conversate. Next thing I know, it's 35 minutes, and I was supposed to be in an interview, and I missed it because here I am talking to Mike. So I'm going to go Michael Jack for the 80s, for the Phillies, Randall for the Eagles. Now, for the Flyers, my Flyers guy in the 80s only played for the team three seasons. He played in 80-81, just a handful of games. He played a full year in 81-82, scored 33 goals. 82-83, he scored 29 goals, and that was it. The next year, played 8 games, and he was traded. But I loved his nickname. Josh, you probably, I mean, obviously you're younger, you're much younger than me, so you don't remember him as a player. But do you remember the nickname Flocky Hockey? Ron Flockhart. That was my guy in hockey. And in basketball, it wasn't Dr. J. It wasn't Mo Cheeks. It wasn't Bobby Jones. It wasn't Moses Malone. It wasn't Double D Darryl Dawkins. No, my guy, my favorite guy was the Boston Strangler, Andrew Toney. So I'm kicking you off with my core four Philly sports 1980s. Mike Schmidt, Randall Cunningham, Flocky Hockey, Ron Flockhart. Man, he had 33 goals, 29 goals, and then the next year they trade him. And Andrew Toney. So we could do this for the 80s, we'll do it for the 90s, we'll do it for the 2000s, we'll do it for the 2010s. You're going to have some difficult choices to make along the way, because you just got to pick your guy, whatever it is, for whatever reason. And give me a reason why. You know, if you're gonna pick a kicker, or you're going to pick somebody who's obscure, let me know why. 610-632-0975. So we're going to talk about the developments. We're going to talk about what's happening in sports right now. We're going to do that stuff. But I want to have some fun with you. It's Sunday afternoon. Sports are on hold. The whole society, our culture, everything is on hold. I know people are starting to get out and about. You're getting opportunities to at least go to the Jersey Shore, go to a state park, or walk around. Restaurants are serving, and you can't sit inside. That's the crazy thing, because in Florida, I was driving by this week, and it started Monday. The old folks, man, they're sitting there in a restaurant. They're all just sitting around. There's no social distancing. I'm going, what is this about? And then I get here, and it's different. It's different. So whatever you're doing right now, however you've been spending your day, if you had an opportunity to get out there, maybe hit some golf balls, have some fun, let me know. What are you doing to pass the time, because you have much more of it available to you now? But instead of complaining about our situation and looking at when are we going to get sports again? How are they going to come to an agreement? Because the more I think about it, and yeah, I see baseball putting together a 67-page proposal. These are the details. There's so many details that it encompasses. There are so many little things that are involved. And then you see the conversations among the players, and I look at it and go, I just don't know. I don't know. So I just want to kick back, relax, spend the next 4 hours with you, thinking about those days when, whether it was we grew up and fell in love with the sport, if you're like me in the 80s, if you're younger in the 90s or much younger in the 2000s, think back to the times that, what is it about sports that made you fall in love with the game? Whichever game is your favorite. And give me your guy, whoever it is, for each sport, each team in the city. I'm already getting some notifications, and we got one guy goes, Chase Utley. Okay, so you got Chase Utley for, he would be the Phillies rep for 2000s. Now you got to pick a Phillies guy for the 80s, pick a Phillies player for the 90s, a little bit more difficult. A Phillies player for the zeros is challenging because you got so many options. Chase, Jimmy, Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels. You can go so many different directions. And a Phillies player for the 2010s. The 2010s still got a lot of options too. You can go a lot of different ways there. For the Eagles in the 10s, do you go with Nick Foles? It was 2017, won a Super Bowl. 2018, won a playoff game. Do you go with Shady McCoy? There's so many different options. Again, it doesn't have to be your best player. Doesn't have to be the guy who was the face of the franchise in either of the sports. In any of the four, just the guy who maybe you identify with for whatever reason. Maybe it's a guy that you think is someone that, I mean, it's just the personality was contagious, was infectious. You loved the way they brought it every day. I mean, there might be some folks out there who will pick Aaron Rowan for the zeros, for the Phillies. Might pick a guy like that. So whoever it may be, 610-632-0975. And while we have fun with that, while we put together our lists of core four guys in Philly sports since the 80s, we can look at the possibilities of MLB trying to play. I think NBA's got the best chance of attempting a comeback first because they want to at least try and finish their season. Just go right into the playoffs. Fewer guys on the team. But then, you know, you're going to have so many variables involved there too. I mean, baseball's got it. Their plan is quite ambitious. And they're looking at trying to process more than 10,000 tests per week. More than 10,000 tests per week. I'm seeing, and this document is wild. There's so much information in there. Testing guys before, after games. How many tests are you going to go through? I mean, this is an immense, an incredible undertaking. The amount of people that it had to take to put together a 67-page document and try and get, now they're trying to get some feedback on it. You got testing. You got in-stadium adjustments that they have to make. There is, teams would be allowed to have 50 players. Players and other team personnel who are not participating in the game, they would sit in the stands separated by at least 6 feet. So you don't have a dugout now. They would apply the same distancing standards to the national anthem. No high fives, no fist bumps, no hugs. How do you prohibit spitting? I mean, tobacco use and sunflower seeds, okay. So I think spitting is a reaction sometimes. You're going to make that. And how do you penalize it? What do you do? You can't. How do you enforce that?
First and third base coaches are not allowed to approach the base runners or the umpires. Players should not socialize with opponents. A ball that is thrown away after it is touched by multiple players and throwing a ball around the infield will be discouraged. It's just a complete overhaul of the game. You got pitchers who would have their own set of baseballs to throw during the bullpen sessions. You would have team personnel who would rub the balls because they got to rub them down a little bit with mud for the umpires. They got to use gloves. Players would be discouraged from showering at stadiums after games. And they're not allowed to get on any kind of ride to or from the stadium. So the best thing to do would be to have a team bus. Can you imagine that? Not showering after a game. It's like the guys, you know, I go through that playing prison softball. We'll play sometimes like 8 games in 4 prisons in one day. We sure ain't doing that this year because we're not allowed, but nobody wants to come near you on that van. I mean, we stink 8 games in a day, in and out. Wow, just to think about all the germs we were carrying. Teams were asked to respond with their suggested input by May 22nd, and they are now looking over this 67-page document. I'm telling you that the more I think about it, the more I think it's unlikely and unrealistic. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it is right now. That's what we're living through. Josh and I walk into this building. We got our masks on. Walk around. I come into the studio. I got my mask on. Sit down. And it's become what we are going through right now. And it's not going to be this way forever. And we will have baseball and basketball and football and hockey. It will come back. It's all going to come back. And it'll happen. But we could talk about that and talk about the 67-page document for Major League Baseball and try and look at some of the things that we think could change or we would change. I feel that some of the changes that they are going to try and implement if they do get on the field should be carried over, which is a good thing. You get to try these out. Love to see a DH. Ah, I don't want to see a pitcher hit. Nobody wants to see a pitcher hit. I'd rather see pitchers have a home run derby than hit. Like, I'd rather see Madison Bumgarner and some of those guys, Zach Greinke, some of the guys who could hit, Strasburg. Go have a home run derby all-star week rather than hit during games because there's too many pitchers who can't. And you look at a Phillies team, how that would benefit them with a DH. Because you got a guy in Reese Hoskins who is a DH. You got Alec Boehm who still needs some more experience at third base, more development at third base. You could put him at first base. That would help the Phillies. But there are so many rules that they and extreme. Players will be required to wear masks everywhere except on the field and during strenuous activities. Their activities outside the stadium would change too, particularly on the road, where they would not be allowed to leave the hotel to eat at restaurants. At home, you have tier one and tier two. They're divided into tiers, and they would be discouraged from going to crowded bars. So basically what you want to do is quarantine these guys. MLB will not formally restrict the activities of covered individuals when they are away from work, but will expect the members of each team to ensure that they all act responsibly. The careless actions of a single member of the team places the entire team and their families at risk, and teams should agree on their off-field code of conduct for themselves and their family members to minimize the risk to the team. Now, you know guys are going to stray from that. You know guys are going to do that. I mean, look, you got guys now getting arrested doing... How about some of the stories we're seeing with some of the players in the NFL? Guys getting arrested during a pandemic when you're supposed to be on lockdown and supposed to be quarantining, you're supposed to be... And you're out there acting a fool. getting arrested. Now, if they bring baseball back using this 67-page proposal, you're going to hope that players don't act on their own and go do their own thing. But you know, when you got 50 guys to a team, 1,500 players, you're not going to be able to control their actions off the field. Now, this plan's got a three-phase spring training. My wife's all excited about it. She hears spring training. She's like, we're going to go back to Florida. I'm like, you're still there. And pitchers and catchers would arrive, then position players. The third phase, she's like, we just stay here. The third phase would include a limited number of exhibition games. We still haven't figured out how they're going to handle where they have the entire seasons played. Yeah, so much undertaking, so much to go here. So we could talk about that. What do you like about this proposal? What do you think is going to be the most difficult to implement? I just think I completely wholeheartedly agree with the no spitting, but I don't know how you're going to prohibit guys from spitting. It's just going to, you slide head first in a second base and you get up with a face full of dirt. First inclination is to spit, right? That's the first inclination. And, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to spread germs, but that's hard. But beyond that, I feel like to get 1,500 players to agree when you're away from the ballpark, you're just going to sit in a hotel room and you're not going to – guys are going to get hungry. They're going to want to drink. They're going to want to go out. And listen, single dudes – They're going to want to go out, and you know, not just the single guys. You're going to how do you restrict that? It's going to be, I don't know how they do it. So what do you like about this plan? What do you think is going to be the most difficult to implement? 610-632-0975. And what I started off with today, I want to have some fun with you is. Give me your guys, each team, each decade. I think some people are, is this one guy, one from each team, each decade since the 80s? Maybe Josh, I worded it such that, no, I mean, here's a guy, Rick says, Iverson, Dawkins, Utley, and Keith Primo. They could be his guys for the 2000s. All right. That's what I'm looking for. Your guys from each team, one each decade. Give me a Phillies player in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. Give me an Eagle. Give me a Sixer. Give me a Flyer. I started it off with my team from the 80s. I gave you my four guys. I'll give them to you again when we come back. 610-632-0975. We got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic. Welcome back, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. I'm here with you till 8 p.m. Josh Rabick's in here handling your calls. It's 610-632-0975. We got open lines to hear from you. And we're talking about Major League Baseball's safety proposal, the 67-page document. And I'll get to that in a second. But I also want to have some fun today. Let's have some fun. Let's think back to a time when they actually played sports, when there was a lot of interesting, awesome memories being made. I'm thinking back to when I grew up and fell in love with the game. What were some of the guys that were my guys in each sport? And I asked if you would pick out guys from each team from the 80s, 90s, 0s, and 2010s. And I'll give you my
my 80s, I gave it to you at the top. I'll give you my 80s in baseball with the Phillies. It was Michael Jack. Had to be Michael Jack. That was my guy. Now, here's the funny thing. I had other favorite players. I had obscure guys who were my favorite players. I liked Lenny Matusik, who was a first baseman, came up in 83. I liked Bob Dernier. I liked John Russell, who was a catcher that the Phillies drafted in the first round. I still, to this day, this is just like crazy Rain Man-ish. I remember in 1986, John Russell had 15 homers and 60 RBIs and 315 at-bats. I don't know why I remember that, but it's just, and then they went out and got Lance Parrish after that. Nonetheless, my guy in the 80s was Mike Schmidt for the Phillies. For the Eagles, it was Randall. I just loved watching Randall. Absolutely loved watching Randall. In basketball, with the Sixers, it was Andrew Toney. It wasn't Dr. J or Moses. Andrew Toney, the Boston Strangler. Man, that jump shot. It's too bad his foot injuries slowed him down, derailed his career. And in hockey, man, it was Flocky Hockey. Ron Flockhart. So they were my guys in the 80s. I'll give you my 90s as we go along. I'll give you my zeros and the 2010s. My zeros and 2010s, it's different because I started covering the teams in 2000. So it's just a different vibe for me. But in the 80s and 90s, growing up, it was, yeah, I knew who were my guys. They don't have to be the best player on the team. They don't have to be your favorite, you know, your favorite player could be the guy you dislike the most, stands out to you the most, somebody you just identify with for whatever reason. Maybe you have something in common. Whoever it is, it's just got to be your guy. 610-632-0975. And if you want to talk about the safety proposal that Major League Baseball has put out there, it has an incredible amount of variables in there. Different things. What do you think is going to be toughest to implement? And realistically, do you feel there's going to be baseball this season? Because if I had to go either way, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be. I think basketball may attempt to come back, but if there's just one thing goes wrong, they're going to stop. All right, Byron in Bucks County is going to kick it off. You're a 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Byron?
What's up, Rob? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Can't complain. Hey, love the topic. First of all, just with the baseball thing, I think that's a joke, you know? And I'm just saying, as a person, you know, who's a coach, who's played, it just seems like you're going against your natural human instincts with all those kind of restrictions.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you actually going to tell Bryce Harper, one of the top 10 players in the game, is making that kind of money, well, you can't do this, you can't do that? Are you kidding me? He'd laugh at you. You know? Now, I understand the safety that they're talking about, you know? But to go against, like you said, sliding to second base with a mouth full of dirt, your natural instinct, you're going to spit.
Exactly. Yeah.
They've been doing that for 1,000 years. And all of a sudden in 2020, nah, you can't. Nah, I don't think it's going to happen. And you're right. There's too many variables to have them. Not only with the players, but okay, they're staying in hotels. What about the hotel workers?
Yeah,
you know, because it only takes you know one person hotel gets it or something like that, and then the domino effect. I don't see it. I see the NBA coming back before any of that.
Yeah, you know? I think they're going to be the leader. I see them trying to come back, but it even becomes more difficult for baseball because more people are involved. But man, it's an incredibly difficult challenge, and we see it that it required a 67 page document with all of these different restrictions and how you're going to prohibit guys. Like, Byron, you get 1,500 players and you expect them not, like, one guy's going to stray from that and not go out or go to a crowded bar or try to, you know, hang out with a lady friend or something. Something's going to happen. Something's
exactly. And like you said, the single guys, they're going to get out. You're going to tell, again, you're trying to tell a 25, 26-year-old? It's going against your natural human instincts, man.
It's time for bed. That means you. No heart pulse.
Man, I'm spoiled, Byron. I'm spoiled. I've been on a beach for 11 weeks. All I seen is my wife in either a bikini or short shorts in a house. I'm like, babe, you got to put something on every now and then. But seriously. Give me your guys, man.
All right, my guys. All right. I am absolutely loving your Andrew Toney because it just takes me back to being a kid in the 80s or watching CBS or Sixers against the Celtics, and he's up there in the Boston Garden killing them jokers.
Oh, the Boston Strangler, man. I love that.
So I'm down with Toney, even though, you know, like I said, you know, as a kid living up in this area, obviously we all grew up loving Dr. J, you know?
Yeah.
My hockey guy, I know it's a little bit more 90s, but LeClaire is my guy. John LeClaire was my, that was.
LeClaire, yeah, he is 90s. Yeah, he's 90s. Okay.
That was my boy. And then, you know, Sixers. And then, you know, I love your Randle comparison, but I got to go Clyde Simmons, you know.
Clyde, oh.
Yeah, I got to go Clyde Simmons.
I love Clyde. How about Clyde and Seth in eighth and ninth round, man?
You know, it's incredible.
It don't even exist anymore.
Exactly.
What a draft.
Yeah, what a draft, exactly. So Clyde Simmons was my dude, so.
I like it, man. How about baseball? You got a baseball guy?
I would say Schmitty. I like Schmitty. I mean, we all, again, as kids grew up in this area, Mike Schmidt, you know, that was our guy, you know. And just thankful he just stayed on one, you know, again, guy who stayed on one team his whole career. Kind of, you know, you grew up with him.
It's crazy. Yeah. That don't happen anymore.
That don't happen. I still have baseball cards as a kid. Just collect Mike Schmidt. I mean, that was the guy.
Taking me back. Now I got to find my baseball cards in my mom's house, my dad's house with my parents.
Hey, Rob, let me ask you one quick question before you leave.
Yeah.
We're talking about baseball. I'm a huge college football fan. Do you see that coming back?
No. Man, I don't know how they can do school. Let alone, you know, college football. And that's why, like, that's going to affect the draft. There's so many things, man. I really don't see college football coming back. Not this year.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Robert.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one. 610-632-0975. He has some good ones there. I'm going to give you some time, Josh. You have any ready to go? You got any
I'm ready to roll.
Which decade you want to do? You got any
dealer's choice? You let me know. I'll give you one.
You're ahead of the game. Well then, all right. You didn't live in the 80s, but go ahead. Give me your 80s.
I was only in the 80s for 8 months, so unfortunately, I'm living through documentaries and some old games and everything.
Okay.
I got to go, Dr. J for the Sixers. I mean, Dr. J also inspired so many other basketball players that came around in the late 80s, early 90s. He was in a way like had that Michael Jordan effect as far as. Skying up with the highlight reel dunks. Got to go Mike Schmidt with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that one's just easy. He just best player in Phillies history. All right, let's go Reggie White for the Eagles.
You're going to go Reggie? Okay.
I can also go Reggie White a little bit more comfortably because I saw him with the Packers in the 90s as well, knowing what kind of got away with Reggie as well. Yeah. So that's a little bit easier to identify with. And then with hockey, I got to go Mark Howe. I mean, we're talking about the offspring of Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey.
Yeah, Mark Howe. That's a good one. Mark Howe. So Mark Howe, or was he more 90s? Now I got to look that up.
No, he was more 80s. He leaked into the early 90s, but he kind of, it was that goal scoring, that point producing defenseman ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Best defenseman in Flyers history.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I'm trying to. And that, like, I was looking, I'm like, how do you not go with Bobby Clark? But he only played a couple years in the 80s. And then I go, if I'm going to go a couple years in the 80s, I had to go with my guy, Flocky Hockey, Ron Flockhart. That was my 80s guy. That was my 80s. It was only a couple years, but man, I loved watching him play. And so in my 90s, I still got some tough decisions to make. I still got to come up with some guys in the 90s. That I got to narrow it down to. So there are guys in the 90s, especially in in baseball, that's the tough one for me. So I'll give you the 90s as we go along. I'll give you one guy. You know, I'll do it this way. I'll give you a guy from each team rather than give you all four over the course. So I'll give my 90s Sixers is easy. It's Sir Charles. I love watching Barkley play. Any knucklehead. I just love Sir Charles. Because I remember when he got traded to Phoenix. I remember the day he got traded to Phoenix, how mad I was. I had a buddy, his name was Adam. We played ball together, and he was a big Charles fan. And we went out and got Phoenix Suns caps and became Phoenix Suns fans just for Charles. I was so mad when he didn't win that championship that year. So that's my Sixers 1990s guy is Charles Barkley. I'll give you Phillies, Flyers, and Eagles, but I want to hear your guys. 610-632-0975. And what do you think is going to be most difficult about baseball and the 67-page proposal to implement? We haven't seen a proposal yet from the NBA, and the NFL still got some time on their hands. They're going to wait it out. They're going to see what the other sports can do first. But the NBA is going to try and come back and finish their playoffs, and I think they got the most realistic chance of attempting something. But baseball, there's so much holding it back. So we could talk about that. And your guys, Philly Sports, Core 4, one from each team for each decade, 610-632-0975. I got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
444 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. 610-632-0975. I had a virtual sermon I got to preach today. It was actually pre-recorded a couple days ago, and then today I had to do a commencement speech for this coming Friday. And here's the thing. So it's a virtual commencement speech. It's recorded. It's on my phone. This one's 20 minutes. The sermon was 25. Uploading this stuff is a beast. And I'm still right now I'm uploading it to Google Drive, and then I got to send it over. Man, I finished it early in the afternoon, then I came over here and I'm like, I still can't get this to upload to Google Drive. I can't get it to do anything. But right now, it's halfway through. So, John, I mean, you're the tech wizard. You got any ideas for me on uploading a 20-minute iPhone video? Google Drive's the way to go, right?
Yeah, Google Drive's definitely the way to go. And it's funny because a lot of us producers do a lot of stuff with video editing. And there's just some times where stuff goes haywire and you just almost want to give up and just move away.
I like, you see the little thingy. It's not an hourglass, but it's like a clock. And it's right now, it's at 12:20. So I'm like, come on, just spin around. Keep going. Get through. 610-632-0975. I gave you my core four 80s Philly sports guys. I gave you Charles Barkley as my 76ers guy for the 90s. I'm going to give you my Phillies 1990s before I get to Ian. And when I think of the Phillies in the 1990s, my guy was a guy who worked here at 97.5, The Fanatic, and then unfortunately, sadly, passed away. It's Dutch Darren Dalton. Darren Dalton, loved that guy, man. Loved Darren Dalton in the 90s. What a year he had in 93. I'm glad he got his ring with the Florida Marlins. He was an integral part of that team. Played a little outfield for them. But Darren Dalton was my 90s Phillies guy. So I still got a Flyer I got to give you for the 90s and an Eagle I got to give you for the 90s. But I want to hear yours, 610-632-0975. Ian in Newark, he's got his four. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Ian?
Hey, what's up, Rob? You know, the 90s one is easy for NBA is Barkley, because, you know, I still have not got over that trade, man. Because, you know,
Tim Perry and Andrew Lang?
Andrew Lang. So, there Rob, you know what? You know what's funny? At that time, that's when I started, like, kind of getting myself a way of loving teams, because I loved that Sixers team with Barkley. Mm. And I remember that whole team, Jillian, like, all those guys. And when he got traded, like, that's when I started. But the other guy in the NFL, I love Cunningham, though.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how did Cunningham end up leaving the Eagles? I don't remember that part. Was he a free agent? I think he was a free agent, right?
So, remember, towards the end of his career, they had Rodney Pete had replaced them.
Right. Okay.
And Rodney Pete was the starter in that playoff when they scored 56 points against the Lions.
Exactly. Okay.
Right? Now, so then he retired after that 95 season. And then came back, sat out 96 and just came back as a after free agency with Minnesota.
Yeah, because, you know, when he went to Minnesota, I wanted him to win a title because I always loved Cunningham.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and then that guy missed a field goal, so he never had that chance. I always thought Cunningham was great. He never got weapons. Like, McNabb didn't really get weapons either, though. So, now with baseball, I love Dykstra.
And you know what, Ian? Like, Dykstra, I when he played, but, man, what he's become since then.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
Right?
So that's like a mental health issue, but I'm just saying when he played at that time, I used to chew that big league chew and act like I was chewing it. It was just fun to watch.
Man, he hit 25 homers in 93. He hit 19 homers.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit 19 in the regular season and then 6 more in the playoff. I mean, he was all juiced up, but he hit 25 bombs that year. He had a monster year that season.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Rob. Thinking on top of your head right now, when I think of the Phillies 2008, I think of 3 guys that got him there. Hamels, Howard and Utley, 93. Who do you give me the 3 guys on top of your head right now?
I'm going to go Dalton, Dykstra, and Schilling.
Oh, so you're going Dalton, Dykstra, and Schilling? Okay.
For 93?
Yeah, because I don't really necessarily remember as much as I do 2008. You know what I mean? So
Dalton was the heart and soul of that team. He was the leader behind the plate. Dykstra, obviously, the table setter at the top of the lineup. And I go with Schill because he was the ace, man. You gave him the ball,
right.
and he could – you can count on him every – he was a horse, that guy.
Because Williams had a great year that you're saving games. He's got to the playoffs. His arm went shot, right, as I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, at the end. I mean, and there were some guys, like guys who just had fill-in roles or platoon guys like Mariano Duncan and Mickey Morandini at second base. They had good seasons. And
they had a perfect team put together.
Yeah.
It just came down to Williams. They put him in when he was throwing 91 miles an hour. Now, before you let me go, now, they had a big argument about who the best Phillies catcher is. So you go with Dalton, huh?
Best Phillies catcher of all time?
Ever. Yeah, so that's a good argument. I'm hearing different things. I go Ruiz, but...
Chooch could he didn't have Dalton's offensive capability, so that's why.
And another guy's Lieberthal.
Yeah, Lieberthal had some good numbers, but I can't go Lieberthal. I gotta go Darren Dalton. I mean, I would go Bob Boone over Mike Lieberthal.
Now, Rob, with the baseball thing, the reason why I don't believe they play this year is because if they come back, though, let me get your perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say they pay these guys; they're going to play. Now, say the virus hits, don't. The owner's still got to pay these guys for the games. That's
a great point, and I think that's something that they got to negotiate. But
you would
think, right, if the players are certainly going to fight, hey, we tried to come back, we agreed, now the virus hit, now we got to stop it, you still have to pay us. That's
a big risk.
It's a huge risk. And
because in soccer, 8 guys got it. There's a league. It's just a matter of what they put. And I think that owners are taking a big risk on that. If I'm an owner, I mean, someone's going to get the virus. I mean, it's just
no doubt.
The
numbers and the stats tell you somebody is going to, for sure.
Yeah, that's why I just don't think they come back. I think we all just got to take a year off. And
How do you get 1,500 guys to follow these extremely strict rules? I'm not saying they shouldn't. Like, they should. But you know the way guys are, and if somebody's going to stray from those rules. They're going to do.
Right,
they're going to go to a crowded bar. They're going to do something.
Exactly. And the thing is, if they're not going to be, they're going to be allowed to go home and stuff. I mean, it's just
now it brings their families into risk.
Right. And this virus is contagious. But I'm saying, I don't get if one guy gets it. They say everybody around them has to have a 14-day, 15-day quarantine. Now,
I know. That's,
you know, so that's why. I don't think any sports comes back until NFL, maybe it gets delayed to November. And they're talking about second wave, but I don't want to be negative, though.
I know. That's why I want to have some fun today. Let's think back to some of our favorites. Ian, you gave me some good ones, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
All right, brother. Let me get to Robert in Kennett Square. He's got his. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Robert? What decade you going with?
Well, 80s or 90s.
Go ahead. Give me whichever one you want. You can give me both if you want.
Okay. For the 90s, I liked Lindros in the hockey.
Okay.
For that 93 team, I liked Tommy Green because he was on the heat pile. Nobody wanted him, and the Phillies took him.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of that, winning that, the National League pennant.
Yep.
Football, because the guy eventually went to the Packers, Reggie White. And
But Reggie only played in the 90s.
He played on the 96 Super Bowl team.
But in Philly, he only played like 2 years. I think he left.
He played more than that in Philadelphia.
No, I mean in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was more of a... man, I can't believe he played all the way in the 90s. He played 90. He played 91.
He played 92.
He played three seasons. You can have him. Yeah, you can have him for the 90s. Okay.
And I liked... Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that was my guy.
I liked his attitude. Mm-hmm. And for the 80s, Dr. J.
Okay.
Wilbert Montgomery.
Wilbert. All right, good one.
Bruiser. Steve Carlton in baseball.
Carlton over Schmidt. Okay.
Uh-huh. And Tockett.
Rick Tockett. Yeah.
Because he was a fighter. I liked
him. Yeah, he could do it all. Do you remember my Flyers guy in the 80s, Ron Flockhart, Flocky Hockey?
I remember Ron Flockhart. I think his number was 22.
I think so. It may have been. Was that Peter Zezel, 22?
Well, I knew most of the Flyers players because I was a Rangers fan. And the Flyers were notoriously tough and on us. And I always watched the games intently. And I knew who the Flyers players were.
So you're a Philly sports fan, but you're a Rangers fan?
No, I'm from this area. I'm not a hater on any of the Phillies teams. But I'm a Rangers fan in hockey, Yankees fan in baseball, and a Packers fan in football. And NBA, I really don't have any interest anymore. I liked Allen Iverson, but I didn't like his attitude, and I think he scared a lot of players away. And he was a great player.
I think he opened. Robert, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Have a good one. I don't think he scared players away. I mean, AI opened a door. Look at how many players got. That was, they go, Jordan was the best, but AI was, it's crazy. A lot of these younger guys, They recognize Jordan's greatness, but AI was their favorite. 610-632-0975. I gave you my 90s Phillies. I gave you my Sixers. I'll give you my Flyers 90s guy when we come back. I got open lines for you. We're doing core four favorites, Philly sports teams, one guy each team, each decade since the 80s. And we're talking all things Major League Baseball about this 67-page safety proposal. I got open lines for you. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic. PM 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with you till 8. 610-632-0975. We know these are strange times. We know these are difficult times. We know these are challenging times. But we're doing our part to try to help a little bit make somebody's day a little bit better. So during this global pandemic, there are those out there on the front lines who are helping keep our community safe, the doctors, nurses, educators, and more. They are our health heroes. So if there's a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, go to 975thefanatic.com, 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate someone special. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Each day this coming week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Dietz & Watson, Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses, and your local ShopRite Market. For pickup, order online at shop.shoprite.com. Our health heroes, the program, it's being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. We are all in this together. This is 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. All right, so I gave you my 80s. I'm almost through my 90s. Phillies is Dalton. Basketball. Sixers is Barkley. With the Eagles, now these are my guys, and he was also the best at his position. Now you can also argue another guy at his position was also very good, but this guy was a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback in his career. He arrived here in 96, so he played 96, 97, 98, 99. He was a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback. He was an All-Pro. He was a team leader. He passed the baton off to Dawkins. He was so instrumental in Brian Dawkins' life that they're both still good friends, and he got to introduce him in Canton when Dawk was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So my Eagles 90s guy is Troy Vincent. I go with Troy Vincent. I've been friends with Troy now since I covered him in 2000 and recently had him on, had an incredible conversation. He's the executive vice president of football operations at the NFL. So he's the number two guy in charge right behind Roger Goodell. But Troy's a guy who is he's just a really passionate person about helping others. And I love people like that. He's a great player. He's a great person. A great leader on and off the field, a community guy. So my guy in the 90s was Troy Vincent. And that leaves me with the Flyers for the 90s. 610-632-0975. I'm having some difficulty with my 2010s. My 2010s is because there's a lot of options, but it's and I cover the teams, so I come at it from a different perspective, kind of like I did there with the 90s. I got to know Troy in the zeros, but I put him down for the 90s because he played four seasons then. He also played 2000, 1, 2, and 3. He played eight seasons in Philly before he moved on, and he and Bobby Taylor just passed that cornerback tandem off to Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. They groomed them for 1 year, and then they were gone. Lito and Sheldon stepped in, and they were the starters on the defense, along with Michael Lewis, a free safety. That was a great draft for the Eagles, who went on to the Super Bowl in 2004. The zeros is it's interesting. It's a good one. I like my picks there, so I want to hear yours. Let's have some fun this afternoon. You give me your guys. Also, how'd you spend your weekend? How'd you spend your weekend? Did you go down the shore? Are you getting out and getting around, going out and about? Like, what are you able to do? What have you been doing? Now that you have a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more freedom, enjoying the outdoors? Are you golfing? I was here a couple of weeks ago, and that was the weekend they opened the golf courses. So I've talked to some friends who've been out quite a bit on the golf courses, but how did you get out there? What have you been doing? How are you passing your time on these weekends, enjoying yourselves? The weather's turning nicely now. Today was cold for me, but it's all right. I did crank on the air conditioner. I was trying to get through that commencement speech, and I was heating up in there, and I was like, I looked at the thermometer. It was on 73, so I was like, all right, I need it on 71. So I put the air on, cranked it down, but got through that. Still trying to upload it. It's getting there. It's getting closer, Josh. The upload's going through. I don't know why. It's been about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, but we'll get through. It'll get through. We've been talking about the core four favorite guys, trying to have some fun with you, but looking at the Major League Baseball proposal, what sticks out to you about it? What is it? What do you see in there that you think is going to be the most difficult? Now, there's so much, so many things in play, so many different variables. Obviously, you're going to have to get everybody on board. You can't force players to want to play. You can't tell these guys, yeah, you have to. You got to show up. They don't want to. If they don't want to play, if they don't want to risk their lives, as Blake Snell said, you have to have the understanding that, hey, they're not going to force them to, and they've said that. And here's the thing with what Blake Snell said, though. He didn't think the risk is worth it if he's getting half the salary. But he's willing, or it sounds like he's willing, if he gets full pay for half the season. So is his issue the pay, or is it the risk also? And where does the risk, where does the reward outweigh the risk for him? For him, it's not at 3.4 million, 3.5. It's not there. I'm thinking of 10,000 coronavirus tests per week. Major League Baseball's trying to come up with. That's their plan. Have they been able to figure out how they can secure 10,000 a week? 10,000 a week? And there are so many details, so many bumps along the way. It's staggering. And I'm thinking about it. It's mind-blowing to me. And the league hopes that mid-June, return to facilities in early July, opening day. Wow. We'll see. How do you feel about it? 610-632-0975. The repeated testing is the key, right? The repeated testing. That's what Rob Manfred said Thursday night. Frequent tests will be the key to the sport restarting, and a positive test, he says, won't mean shutting down an entire team. And how is that possible? He said they plan to test players multiple time and other personnel multiple time each week using a lab in Utah that's converted to process thousands of tests weekly. Thousands. It's insane. And Manfred said that the experts are advising them that they don't need a 14-day quarantine. He said, what we will do is the positive individual will be removed from the rest of the group. There will be a quarantine arrangement in each facility and in each city, and we'll do contact tracing for the individuals that we believe there was contact with, and we will do point-of-care testing for those individuals to minimize the likelihood that there's been a spread. Man, I don't know about you, but that to me seems like a huge undertaking. And I feel with the fighting over the salaries and all this stuff, I think it's more likely that they're gonna sit out this season. So tell me your thoughts on that. Let me know what you feel about this proposal. But also, let's have some fun today. When you fell in love with sports, who were your guys? Who were your favorites? Mine were Schmitty and Randall and Reggie. When you fell in love with sports, who were the people, the personalities? What drew you to sports? I just remember listening to Brent Musburger saying, "You are looking live. It is sold out Soldier Field," and always thinking to myself, man, when's he going to lead with "You are looking live at a sold out Veterans Stadium"? The Eagles were never the lead. It was always somebody else. And then they finally got good. They finally, in 87, the strike year went 7-5, but the replacement players were 0-3. And then 88, 89, 90, they went to the playoffs and lost each year under Buddy in the first playoff game. I remember the Fog Bowl. I mean, when I go back, these are the times I fell in love with sports. So naturally, when I go my core four for the 80s, I go with Randall, but it was either him or I was going to go Buddy.
But I want to hear your guys. I gave you my 80s Phillies, Schmidt, Sixers, Tony, Flyers, Ron Flockhart, Eagles, Randall. Gave you my 90s except Flyers, and my 90s Flyers is Eric Lindros. So that completes the 90s. Dalton, Barkley, Lindros, and Troy Vincent. Before I give you my 2000s or start to give it to you, I'm going to go to Mike and King of Prussia because he's going to give me his. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing there, Rob?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I got to say, so in the 2000s, I'm going to start off with your core four, then I'll get my topic. But I was a McNabb guy for sure. McNabb was, you know, I was convinced he was going to win a Super Bowl, but it didn't work out. I really started not liking him after, and he just talks too much now.
Yes.
I was not an Iverson guy, and that press conference really did me in. I didn't care for him after that press conference. I just thought it pretty much showed his lack of commitment to the game. But I was definitely a Hugh Douglas guy, and I forget what that other defensive end was, the fifth rounder who I just can't remember his name.
Trent Cole.
Oh, yeah. I thought Trent was everything I want Brandon Graham to be, but he's not. You know what I mean? And like, and then I was a John LeClair hockey guy.
John LeClair.
Yeah. So let me get into my thing a little bit about the coronavirus. And I get really, it bugs me because you even said yourself, you came from Florida. You didn't even know this thing was pretty much going on. It never really hit that world. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, Mike, between there and here, completely different.
Well, how am I supposed to take it seriously and take the people that are running the show in Pennsylvania seriously when their policies led to the deaths of 70% of the people in Pennsylvania when it comes to nursing homes? Nursing homes are 70% of the people that died in Pennsylvania died because they were in nursing homes. And it was specifically the policies set out by the governor and his secretary of health that led to that. So I can't.
That's an accurate stat, Mike? I'm not up to date on my Pennsylvania stats. 70% of the deaths in PA are nursing home deaths?
Yep, look it up. There's been articles about it. People have been asking for the health secretary to resign because her policies and Governor Wolf's policies led to that. And I can't take this, like, all this testing and everybody going off the rails seriously when we understand that with this virus, it's affecting the elderly and the immunosuppressed badly. We get that. But then everybody's being held to this, they have to say this in public or they're going to get excoriated because you sound like you're selfish. But when you say things like what I just told to you, people like just go off the rails and think you're a bad person when you're just speaking the truth. So
there's a lot of misinformation. And the entire thing has become more political.
Exactly.
And this is what's hard. It's hard to believe what you're hearing most of the time. And I like it. The AP, we do something weekly where we go, they put together all of the stories that they have seen on social media getting so many retweets and shares and likes and being put out there, and they investigate the truth of it.
Yeah, but they're not going to because it's political. There's money involved with it. But when you come down to it in Pennsylvania, 2,900 elderly people in nursing homes out of the 4,000 plus were deaths in the nursing homes, and that was all related to policy here. So I can't take this seriously anymore, and I can't hear people dribble on about we need X number of tests. When it's healthy people aren't really being affected, there's certain people that are being affected, but we've let this become a political nightmare, and it's taken over our country.
Listen, Mike, there's no denying people dying. There's no denying that people have died, but there's also skepticism that every single person who has been labeled a COVID-19 death actually died from COVID-19 or something else. There's so much misinformation, and that's what's sad is that you don't know who to believe.
Yeah, I'll find the article. I'll send it to you.
All right, man.
It makes you freak out when you read stuff like that. You just like you can't trust anybody anymore.
That's the problem. That is the problem. I appreciate it, man. As always,
have a good one.
Stay safe, Mike. Take care. Hey, mask up. Do your thing. Whatever you got to do. It's crazy, and it's sad, and it's unfortunate that
we don't know. We don't know what is accurate and what isn't, and who has an agenda and who doesn't. And sometimes, you know, you read different things and you see one and then you go, well, you investigate it, you look into it, and you go, well, no, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. That's why I'm trying to have some lighthearted, fun conversation this afternoon. And I put out there your core four. Yeah, we could talk the baseball thing. We could talk about it. What are they going to do? Can they come back? What do you think is the most difficult part of it? What do you like about it? But when you fell in love with sports for a reason. There are guys who are your favorites. There are guys you identify with. There are guys who, for whatever reason, you were drawn to, you gravitated toward. Not necessarily always the best player, but the guy who's your guy. And I said, let's pick a guy from each decade. Now, I'm getting some good ones. We've had some great ones on the air, and we've had some good ones on social media. My buddy Pete Naccarelli, he sends in Reggie White, Eric Allen. So he went 80s and 90s with the Eagles. He went Allen Iverson, and he went Carson Wentz. Paul Paz, he gave me every decade. 80s, Dr. J, Randall, Mike Schmidt, and he went to proper Brian Propp. Here's a good one. 90s, he went Dana Barros, Rodney Pete, Dave Hollins, and Eric Lindros. There's a couple names in there. Dave Hollins, his nickname was Head. The 2000s, AI, Donovan McNabb, Scotty Rowland. He can't really go Rowland because he was traded in 2000. That year he was traded. Simone Gagné. Where was Rowland traded? Was it a year later? Let me see. Scott Rowland. I know I covered that trade. That wasn't the Schilling trade. The Schilling trade came down. I was on a 2001. Rowland was traded. All right, so he played a year and a half. The Schilling trade was in 2000, and I was on a train from Fenway. I went to Fenway, had a couple of days off, and it was my first year on the job. And I was on a train when the news broke about Schill, and I made it to the ballpark, was able to get that taken care of. So 2001, he goes Roland and Simone Gagné. The 10s, he goes Andre Iguodala, Nick Foles, Chase Utley, and Claude Giroux. Oh, he gave me a non-Philly. Non-Philly, 80s, Magic, 90s, MJ, zeros, J. Will, and 10, the 2010s, LeBron. All right, some good names in there. Some good names in there. Sean goes Hextall, Utley, Dawkins, and Iverson. He gave me four. My buddy Aaron Bracey, who's doing a great job with Bracey Sports Media, by the way. Check him out. Lindros, Barkley, Cunningham, Utley. I like it, Aaron. I got three of the four in there. Three of those four. So here, I gave you my 80s. I gave you my 90s. I'll kick off the zeros with my Phillies guy. And my Phillies guy in the zeros is the man who won an MVP, who was the leader in that clubhouse. They had three leaders, but he was the leader with the swag. The guy of the three that I know for certain I'm voting for Hall of Fame. I know all three guys were great, great ball players, best at their position. Utley, Howard, and Rollins. But I'm going to go J-Roll. I just loved watching J-Roll play. So I'm going to go J-Roll for the 2000s. J-Roll, see, I covered his entire Phillies career, and he was the guy that I would just sit and, if I had to get up and go to the bathroom, I waited. I wanted to see him bat. And I wanted to see if he hit one out. I love when a 5'8 guy hits one out of the park, or when he hits one in the gap and he turns it on and gets a triple. I love that. And I know he was often criticized for swinging at first pitches, but he also hit somewhere around 315-ish when he swung at the first pitch. So my guy in the 2000s is J-Roll for the Phillies. I'll give you Sixers, Flyers, and Eagles coming up. Josh, you gave me your 90s or 80s?
Which 80s.
One? You gave me your 80s. You didn't give me your 90s yet, right? All right, I need you to give me your 90s when we come back. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. I got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. All right, Josh, you gave me your 80s. Let me hear your 90s core four. Each team in the city, one player from each, your guy.
All right, I'm in agreement with you on Darren Dalton. Dutch was presented to me for the first time as a little kid from my grandmother, believe it or not. We know a lot of the women had a crush on Dalton, so that's how that started off. So he was the first person that I collected memorabilia of and everything like that. So I had a sweet spot for Darren Dalton.
But wait, you just said... We know a lot of women had a crush on Darren Dalton.
Yeah.
But for you, it was your grandmother.
Yes. So, well, So I'm watching Phillies games with her, and she's like, oh, there's my Dutch. And she was a very polite, you know, well-mannered woman. So for her to say that, it was pretty over the top.
Nice.
Eagles is going to be an interesting one because, unfortunately, I don't have some of the early 90s memories that a lot of people do where they can list off some of that. So, unfortunately, I'm going to go like a Ricky Waters. There was a three-year period in there where I'm about 6 to 8 years old. That's the age where you start retaining players' names and you can identify them on the field. Every kid at school had a Ricky Waters jersey.
For who, for what? You don't remember that, though, right? As a kid, that doesn't resonate, right?
What?
The for who, for what, Ricky Waters, his first game here.
Oh, no.
That doesn't resonate.
No.
You look at those numbers. He had some tremendous numbers.
Right. So what I really remember is just like the 3 1,000-yard seasons, all the sport in the jersey and everything. For hockey, I'm going to go Eric Lindros.
Yeah, easy one.
I mean, it's so easy. When you think of the end of the spectrum era into the start of the center, you just saw 88s everywhere. I love LeClaire. I love all that stuff, but we were all Lindros kids growing up. And for basketball, I didn't want to double dip in this. And I also, unfortunately, once again, kind of missed the Barkley era. And he was only a couple years into the 90s. Yeah. I'm going to go Jerry Stackhouse for the same exact reason I'm going Ricky Waters. It landed right in this weird, like, sweet spot for me as a kid.
Jerry Stackhouse. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one. So there you have Josh. He just gave you his four. Those are some really, and this is what's fun about this. You get to reminisce a little bit about some of those guys, and you make great points because you grew up, you were born in 89, and you're in that range where 6 to 8 years old is really when sports captures your heart, right?
Exactly. Like 4 or 5 years old, you understand the objective of the sport. But then like the next couple years, then you go, oh, that's my favorite player. Ooh, I can identify that's my favorite player out there on the field or rink.
Yeah. And that's for me, that's the 80s. And that's why I went with in hockey and I went with in basketball. I didn't go the best guys on the team in the 80s. Or I went with Ron Flockhart. It was just I loved his nickname. I love the way he would weave in and out of the defense and bring the puck up the ice. And Andrew Toney, the Boston Strangler, I loved how he just had that sweet shot and he could score. And Randall was Randall. So I gave you my 80s. Josh gave you his 80s. I gave you my 90s. Josh gave you his 90s. I started with the Phillies in the 2000s and gave you J-Roll. I'm going to go Flyers, and I think one of the people who sent a couple suggestions or their favorites tweeted this at me. And I for me, it's the same. Simone Gagné. And Simone Gagné not only was a good player, but as someone who works in the media, and now if we go back, I started in 2000. I covered the Flyers the first, I'd say, 3 years or so. Simone Gagné is one of the nicest human beings I have ever met in sports. There's so many of them in hockey. Simone Gagné, Danny Briere, another guy. I mean, I loved covering hockey because the games were faster and the guys were just awesome dudes. And Simone was a great player, and also he was just such a good guy. Simone had in 99-2000, his rookie year, 20 goals. Then he had 27, 33. He had 24 goals in 03-04, 47 goals in 05-06, and he had 41 in 06-07.
That 47-goal season, that's the Peter Forsberg effect.
Yeah, and that's the other guy I wanted to go with. But he only played, he was only here a couple years, Peter Forsberg. But I really liked Peter, too, off the ice. Got to know him a little bit, but I had to go with a little bit more longevity, and I went with Simone Gagné. But yeah, you're right. The Peter Forsberg effect, 47 goals. He had 79 points, followed it up with 41. He had 34 in 08-09. I mean, Simone Gagné, I think, is one of the more when you look at the Flyers, isn't he one of the most underrated Flyers of all time? Don't you think? And he left. He went to the LA Kings the year after Carter and Richards. Did he win a cup with the Kings?
Yes, he did, and he almost ate it and dropped the cup. I remember because it was such a great moment seeing him finally get it.
Uh-huh.
That I was terrified that he almost ate it and had that embarrassing moment.
So he won a cup with it. Richards and Carter, they all won a cup with the Kings.
Correct.
But you look at his numbers with the Flyers, man, you got to go. He is definitely one of the most underrated Flyers of all time because his name doesn't. I don't hear his name often mentioned. 264 goals with the Flyers. That entire decade, he was here.
You know what, too? It's like you can list underrated players for other organizations. Like whether we're talking the Phillies, Mike Lieberthal is a guy who kind of gets almost laughed at, but you look at his career numbers, how amazing they are.
And Bobby Abreu's underrated, too.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Abreu, even more than Mike Lieberthal. You can definitely throw Bobby Abreu in there, but Gagné, it felt like most seasons, he wasn't like the number one guy you looked at. Mm-hmm. He had the longevity, but you didn't point at him. Like I said, when Peter Forsberg came in, Gagné had 47 goals, but we were like, look at that Peter Forsberg guy.
Yeah. No, you're right. Gagné was, he was always the and Simone Gagné. Wasn't the guy, but he really quietly put together a tremendous career. What was he, a 1-2-3-4-time All-Star? So Simone Gagné is my 2000s Philadelphia Flyer. I gave you the Phillies is J-Roll. My Flyers guy is Simone Gagné. Let's go. You have yours, right?
Yes.
So let's go one for one with those. Since I gave you my Phillies guy is J-Roll, give me your Phillies guy for the 2000s.
I think J-Roll is a better answer than mine, but this one's just pure to my heart. I got to go Pat the Bat, Pat Burrell.
Over Chase and Ryan Howard.
Here's my reason why. And I understand he didn't finish up the decade and everything.
Yeah.
So it goes back to Reading. So I'm from Reading. He played. He had a nice little stint there with the Reading Phillies. And they had this tradition of Fritz, which every year it would be like this player's Fritz for the day. It would be like Fritz Day. Pat Burrell hit 2 home runs on that day.
Mm.
So he was Fritz for the day. And then he hit 2 home runs on that day. And then probably a week later, he was at my baseball camp. He was our guest speaker, and he hung out for the entire day at our baseball camp.
No way. Okay.
Working on fundamentals with me. So
how old are you at the time?
I'm in third grade at the time.
Oh, shoot. Wow.
So it really stuck with me when he went up to the big league team. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, that's my favorite player right off the bat.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, he was obviously no slouch. Here's the thing. Pat was he never made an All-Star team in his entire career. Yet he too quietly, I know he had some struggles and he had some struggles, but then he really quietly put together some really good seasons, and he was a key, He was a key player on some of the best offensive teams the Phillies had. And in 08 season, we know the story with Pat Burrell. So your guy's Pat Burrell. Mine's Jimmy Rollins. Who's your Flyers 2000s?
All right, I'm going to be a little cheesy here, and I hate when people give two answers for something. Here's the reason why with hockey. From 2000 to 2004, it was a completely different game from 2005-2006 season on to 2010. Mm-hmm. People talk about the Bad Boys Pistons in basketball and how it was a different time. Imagine that times three with hockey. So for me in the 2000 era, I'd go Jeremy Roenick. And the reason why is great skill set for that time period. He could produce, but he also was physical and tough as well with it. That mixture where you look at like a Jerome McGinley around that time period going into the lockout. A lot of people identified him as the best player in hockey. JR had a lot of skill sets to a lesser extent, but in that
more physical
in that realm
than Jerome. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, again, like you didn't want to drop the gloves with that guy. That guy could get physical as well. And then from there on, actually based off of that, the game changed. It became more of that European style. And then I looked at Danny Briere because the Flyers came out of that lockout for those next two seasons being what hockey was in the past, and they were slower than everyone. Signing someone like Briere was kind of that tipping of the cap. We identify who are the players going to be going forward.
JR was a talker too. JR was absolutely like, you know, he was an interview. He was certainly a guy that,
and great initials.
Yeah. Why not? Right. Josh Rabick, JR. So his guy is Jeremy Roenick. Who are yours? Who are your guys? Having some fun this afternoon. Trying to keep it light a little bit as we look at what's going on and what the realistic possibilities. I know they're trying to think of every possible way that they can bring sports. I know they are. They're trying. They're trying to figure it out. Baseball's put together an extensive, incredible, 67-page proposal. Can you imagine the amount of time, the hours that went into putting together a 67-page proposal? And so many different variables, so many different things. Can't spit, can't chew tobacco, can't chew and spit seeds. Now, I don't chew tobacco. I eat sunflower seeds and spit them in a cup. That's my thing. I do it at home at night to keep me from like wanting to snack. So I'll get some sunflower seeds. I'll be working on the computer, trying to write the story or working on something, and I got my cup and I got my, and you know, occasionally I'll spill that cup. Man, it's disgusting. You got to pick that all up, but
listen, as long as you're not spitting ice cream, we're all good.
not spitting ice cream. Man, I love me some sunflower seeds, but I put the whole, like a whole wad in my mouth. And my wife's like, ew, that's disgusting. How do you do that? I just want to get that. I want to get that, the salt. Then you look at the sodium content. I get the lower reduced sodium, but they got all these different protocols in place and everything from the cleanliness of chartered flights between series to reducing the exposure that the players are going to have to stadium workers. But the entire thing is all contingent upon testing. And they plan to do 10,000, upwards of 10,000 a week. I honestly don't think it's doable. I don't think it's realistic. We shall find out. What do you think of that? We'll talk about that. What else are you doing? How are you getting your sports fill right now? Are you, I got golf right there on TV. Are you watching golf? Are you getting into, if you weren't a UFC fan, are you now watching UFC? Are you watching some of the out of country, the soccer? Are you getting excited about NASCAR? Maybe you weren't a fan. So what are you doing to try to get that fill, and how else are you finding ways to just enjoy your time away from just taking a step back, reset, refocus, shift your eyes off of sports and onto something else? 610-632-0975. I got open lines for you to join a conversation. Have some fun with me tonight. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tonight. 97.5, The Fanatic.
By 45, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. I'm here with you till 8 p.m. tonight on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. I hope you are out there, whatever you're doing, having fun, staying safe, and maybe getting a little bit of sun if you can this weekend, hitting some golf balls if you can, whatever you're doing. Are you getting, if you're a guy who plays sports, or if you're a gal who plays sports, are you having a catch? Are you throwing a football around, throwing a baseball, softball around? Are you finding different ways to stay active with, you know, maybe in your backyards and however it is? Or I know some of the high school, college seniors and others who missed out on their season. I know a lot of them are obviously upset about that, especially if you're a senior, your season's not going to, obviously it's not going to happen, but some people want to go through still upset about it, angry about it, bitter about it. But I'll tell you, that's not going to help. Not going to help you get through the process. And I think it's a matter of your perspective. And that's what I talked about in this commencement speech that I was able to record today, is a little bit of perspective, some passion, some purpose. Perspective is so crucial, because how you look at things, how you view the world, how you view what's happening around us, maintaining that proper perspective gets you through. Positive perspective, it's not just a proper. For me, a proper perspective is the positive perspective, and we have that. So we don't have sports. So we find other things to occupy our time while we wait, while we sit and hope that, of course, you're going to maintain hope that it comes back. But while you do that, we find other ways to occupy our time. We find other things and other conversations to have. And that's why I wanted to introduce this topic tonight. And I gave you the option of picking any decade, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s, and giving me your favorite, your guy, the best guy, the guy you identify with, the guy you relate to the most, or if you want to give me the guy you just absolutely could not stand. I'll give you the one guy that I just never wanted to watch play. One guy stands out in my mind. When I think of one guy since the 80s, any sport that I did not want to see play, Michael Martinez from the Phillies. I had zero interest in seeing Michael Martinez. Gave you my 80s and 90s. In the 2000s, I gave you J-Roll for the Phillies. Josh, you had Pat the Bat Burrell. I had Simone Gagné for the Flyers. You got Jeremy. You wanted to go Jeremy Roenick and Danny Briere. If you had to go one, if you had Jay, I got to put you on the spot. Give me one. JR or Danny.
It's weird because if you force me to go one, then I have to go Gagné. I have to go away from it. Well, it's because if I think of that entire decade, yeah, Gagné's there. So kind of by default, how good of a player he wins. But if I break it up by the playing style there, that's why I went those two players.
All right, I'm going to go my Eagles guy for the 2000s. And my Eagles guy for the 2000s is, there's a couple, but I got to go Doc, because Doc isn't, it's not just the fact that he's a Hall of Fame player. To me, Doc is the man, who he is. Like, I know what he was on the field. And I feel like I wish fans in Philly really, really know even more. I know we've gotten to know more and more about Doc the person since he retired, and since a couple years ago he talked about what he was going through, the mental health issues. But the dad, the father, the husband, the man of faith, that's what I gravitate towards. So I go with Doc for the Eagles. I kind of feel like you might have the same one, Josh.
100%. You think especially of those early 2000s Jim Johnson defenses. You think a third and long, them bringing the pressure, and you think of like Dawkins just hovering over the A-gap. And like, for example, you see like a Kerry Collins who's 6'5" and stationary. You're like, oh, someone's coming home. Someone's getting home here.
Yeah, man, he was so fun to watch. Brian Dawkins was so fun to watch. I enjoyed watching Donovan for the most part. He didn't have a lot of weapons until they finally got him T.O., and that was only a year and a half. But Donovan's post-career and just the fact that he's held on to a grudge, the fact that he just says some of the dumber things in the media always seem to rub people the wrong way. And covering Donovan, I never really got to see the real guy, because he always put up, and I covered almost his entire career. He got here in 99. I started in 2000, but in 99, I was at a small paper and I was able to get down there a little bit. So I really did cover his entire career, but he always had his defenses up.
Let me ask you, because a lot of people who have worked in your industry have said the same thing about him. Do you think that's also part of the reason why people didn't like him, that they could sense that he wasn't being real?
Yeah, I think so. Philly is such, this city is such a good judge of sincerity. And we can see through guys. Like Donovan always, you know, I'll never forget. I don't remember at what point it was in the season or which year, but it was a news conference where he's sitting there going, I'm the captain of this ship. And I'm sitting there listening to it in this interview, in this news conference, going, guys who are captains, who are leaders, real leaders, true leaders, you don't have to stand in front of the media and tell everyone that you're the captain of this ship. He always had... Donovan had a lot of, I would say, I wouldn't call it inferiority complex, but he always felt like he had to tell you where he stood and what you should think of him. So he was so concerned about image, and he was so sensitive. And I think that rubbed people the wrong way. Whereas Doc was just, I love passion. Passionate guy, wore his heart on his sleeve. You knew where you stood with Doc. And I didn't really get to know Doc as good until after he retired. During his career, Doc was guarded. And he was sometimes uncomfortable in the media spotlight. So it was only until, you know, the past few years where Doc really, I got opened up. And you saw that. He opened up with everybody. But that's why I go with Doc. I give you my 2000s 76er. We didn't do that one yet, right? We didn't do our 2000 76er yet. And then we got our 2010s, our Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, and Eagles. Our guys for the 2010s. So also, coming up at the top of the hour, I mentioned his name a few minutes ago. Aaron Bracey, he's one of my guys. Aaron Bracey is, he's been a freelancer for the AP for me, man, for so many years. He's my go-to guy. If I can't cover a Phillies game, or my colleague Dan Gelston can't cover a Phillies game, you know, our guy, the number one guy in our number, well, if you go rotation, he's right there. He's the number one guy in the rotation. And I always call on Aaron, and Aaron's always, man, he makes himself available. But he started something really cool in the media and picked a difficult time to do it. Like right now, during this time, to try and launch something new. And I was able to, He had me on his show a little bit ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago when I was in Florida. He's had some incredible guests on his show. So he's going to come on at the top of the hour, and we're going to talk about it. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
6 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with you until 8 o'clock tonight. 8? Is it 8? Yeah, I believe so. 8 o'clock tonight. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. Got a special treat. I've been asking for your guys in sports, your guys in the core four, the Philly sports teams from the decades, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s. Josh and I have run down our list, and we want to get yours. But one of my guys off the field, one of my guys, an AP freelancer who's doing a fantastic job now with a new venture, I want to bring him in to talk about it and also get some of his thoughts on baseball and his guys. His name is Aaron Bracey, and he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Rob. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm doing good. It's been what? It's been a couple weeks since we talked. We did the you do things, you pick it up fast. It was a Zoom call, right? And you had me on your new podcast, Bracey Sports Media. So to tell everybody in this. It's a difficult time for a lot of people, but you decided, let me start something fun and let me pursue a new undertaking here. And people can follow you on Twitter at Aaron_Bracey, B-R-A-C-Y, BraceySportsMedia.com. So tell us about it.
So, as you know, and I heard you mention, I cover games for you. I've been doing it for quite a few years. And
how many years? So when was the first one you did for AP? You remember?
So, believe it or not, I started covering for AP when I was in college in 1997.
Wow.
Covering the Philadelphia Rage of the ABL. That's really kind of how I got my
That
players.
Was under Ken Berger, right?
It was under Ken Berger. It was
yeah.
The first time I got paid to cover sports, and that kind of got me going. And I worked at the Trenton Times, the Trentonian, the Courier Post, and then left journalism full-time and then reached out to you in 2008 and said, hey, Rob, I'd like to still cover some games if you need anyone. And, and so I've been working for you since 2008. And, it's just a real joy. I just love doing it. It's just a passion. It's something I love doing. I love going to the games. I love covering the games. I like meeting the people. And actually, interestingly, one of the things I really like to do, which, is a little different, is I like doing research, like before the games. I like doing like a ton of research, and I'm kind of old school. I write all these
things. Yeah, you are. You are. See, you write everything out by hand.
Yeah, I write all these notes by hand. I have my system down. I use, like, copy paper, and, I have, like, I put my injuries in one. Someone saw it once, and they're like, this looks like you're going to do, like, a radio or TV broadcast.
Aaron, do you still keep the lineup card?
The
scorebook?
That's one of my real joys of baseball. Yeah, definitely. I keep the – I don't know if I could go to a baseball game, Rob, without keeping score.
Wow.
So, yeah, I love doing that, and I love the research, and – when sports shut down, it was just a void in my life. And, I just missed it. And I was just thinking of different things to do. And I'm like, I have a little extra time on my hands and I really miss doing this. I'm like, maybe I could start this thing and I could, I could do some research. I could talk to some sports people and, I'm lucky enough to have a few contacts here and there. I felt like I could get a few people on to talk. And
yeah, you do. So tell me some of it, because you've had some incredible guests on. You've had some interviews with people who, and you do a great job. You put out clips and you're getting lots of views. So tell us some of the guests that you've had.
So, well, we had you on.
you don't want to lead with me, but go ahead.
April 28th. I have my calendar here, so I'm looking at a calendar, Rob, which is, literally written with all pencil of all my...
I know you're meticulous.
Old school. But, I've been lucky, fortunate to have some really cool guests so far. We had John Feinstein on,
mm-hmm.
Best-selling author, which is really cool because I love his books. And, You know, I feel like as a writer, I've been able to improve because from reading his books. Muffet McGraw, who is a Hall of Fame women's basketball coach, he recently retired, Philadelphia area native, coached at Notre Dame for a bunch of years, won a couple national titles there. Tom McCarthy, Philly's broadcaster, who everyone knows. And Tom and I go way back to when I worked in Trenton before he was really well known. And I used to go on Tom's radio show to talk about the Trenton Shooting Stars, which is a minor league basketball team. That I
wow.
we've had, let's see, I had a couple coaches on of Eagles draft picks. Malcolm Kelly, who was the wide receivers coach at TCU, Coach Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, what did he say about Jalen Reagor that stood out to you?
You know, the thing that stood out to me was that he thinks, first of all, he is completely confident that Jalen Reagor, the whole speed issue, like, he said to me, Jalen Reagor never will be caught from behind, ever.
Mm.
So, you know, we know the 40 time was, I think, what, 4.47 at the combine.
Yeah.
But basically, Malcolm Kelly said, first of all, his speed's never going to be an issue. Second of all, what stood out to me also is that, you know, he's going to be able to handle Philly. He has the confidence. He has the demeanor. That cockiness, that borderline arrogance and cockiness, you know, kind of needed a receiver that he has, but seems like somewhat grounded. And, you know, Malcolm Kelly said, you know, I'll stand on this, that I believe, you know, if he stays healthy, that he's going to be a Pro Bowl player. So, you know, if you listen to that interview, and I listened to when I came out, I'm like, you know, we'll see, obviously. But, you know, the way the coach speaks about him, you know, it seems like it's a good pick.
I know that got a lot of good attention, too.
That did, Rob. That clip got over probably close to 7,000 views, just that one clip.
That's what it's all about. That's why you're doing a great job putting these – have one, getting the interviews, putting them together. Are you able, and you're interviewing everyone pretty much on a Zoom call? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, so every interview is on a Zoom call, and then the Zoom call goes to the YouTube channel and the podcast, and I take the interview, and this is actually one of the hardest parts, is transcribing the interview, and then I write a story on the Bracy Sports Media website, BracySportsMedia.com, and then, you know, and then I have a few other ideas, too. I'm going to be rolling something out tomorrow. That I definitely would like you to be a part of if you can at some point.
Okay.
Twitter around noon. And just, you know, Rob, it's just something that I enjoy. You know, I'm passionate about it. You know, it really keeps me in a positive frame of mind during this time where I can, you know, I can think of doing positive things and try and use my talents in a positive way. And hopefully in some small way, maybe helping somebody else out, take their mind off everything right now, you know, for 20 minutes listen to a podcast or something like that. So, it's just something I'm enjoying. You know, my goal and my hope is at some point maybe this can be something that I can monetize. But, you know, for now it's, you know, something I'm just doing because it's something I enjoy. And, you know, I think people are responding well to it. And, you know, I'm going to keep doing it until I can't anymore or until, you know, the games come back and you're using me a lot and I won't have as much fun.
You know, and that's the thing. And we're talking to Aaron Bracy, who is a freelance journalist in the area. He's been with me at AP since 2008. He just started this new venture, Bracy Sports Media. It's a podcast. It's a website, BracySportsMedia.com. He's had some really cool interviews, and he brings people on. What do you do, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay.
I already have three locked up for this week, and then, you know, that's a little tricky sometimes trying to get the guests because, you know, I'm not the biggest outlet, not the biggest name, but, you know, I try and, you know, there's enough people and enough, you know, I'm trying to work different contacts and some people have helped me, you know, so, yeah, I'm trying to do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Well, you're doing a great job, but as we said, you've covered since 08 the Phillies, and, you know, there's been some seasons, especially I would say post Charlie era, Ryan Sandberg. I mean, you probably would get down there close to like 30 times, don't you think? Somewhere around there, a ton of games.
Usually. I mean, you know, I'm blessed. You give me a lot of games. You know, I'm lucky. Every time, usually, I always keep my schedule open so that every time you ask me or Dan asks me to cover a game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You also do some Flyers and Sixers for him.
Yeah, and, you know, it works out. And I love doing it. I love baseball. So I think, you know, like, baseball was kind of my first love. So I just love baseball. It's, you know, it's tougher now. Like, the games take so long. So it's not as, you know.
I feel bad, dude, because every time there's, like, a 3-hour rain delay and the game's getting over at 3:30 in the morning or some kind of ridiculous hour, that's a game where I either switched with you, called you late and said, hey, can you do this one? And it's almost always you get stuck with it. So I appreciate you always being as available as you can be.
Yeah, no, and I enjoy it. I mean, it's really like, I mean, I get to go to the games, watch the games, like I said, meet a lot of cool people.
Hang out with Jack Shore all those years.
You know, been like a second father to me. And
he's awesome.
Just learned so much about, you know, how to treat people and how to act around people. And yeah, so I've been lucky, Rob, and I'm grateful for everything that you've done for me. And yeah, so I love covering the games, and I really, really miss it. I mean, I know there's bigger things going on, but, you know, like, sports is such a big part of me, and covering sports is such a big thing that I do and thing that I enjoy. And so, like, that's kind of why I started this Bracey Sports Media, just because it was such a void, you know?
Well, I always, you know, like to work with and just good people who are respectful, people who really have a kind heart, and people who, you know, that's what I appreciate about you. And you never make it about yourself, and you're not trying to make a name off of us, or you're doing your thing. You're working hard. You treat people the right way. And I know good things are going to happen to you. We're talking today, Aaron, and you've heard my topic. Yeah. Give me some of your guys. You know, your guys. I gave every, now I'll repeat my 80s Phillies. I went Schmidt, Andrew Toney, Flocky Hockey, Ron Flockhart, and Randall. Give me some of your guys, any decade, whichever one you want to pick.
So we always go back to, like, the kind of the guys of our childhood. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, that's why I started. Yeah.
You know, like, so for me, like, hockey, like Lindros, 1992, I was like 16 years old, you know, just came to Philly, you know, and, you know, he also liked golf. I was a big golfer at the time, so I thought that was kind of cool. And just to see, like, how he dominated the game, like, he was like my guy. I loved him, and just the way that his career went was kind of disappointing, because, you know, he was, you know, with the injuries and the concussion, yeah. I think he could have been, he's still the Hall of Famer, obviously, but I just think, you know, he could have been so much more.
He didn't win the cup. We thought he was going to get the cup, and that's, that's the void.
And Randall was, you know, like, that late 80s Eagles team, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, Buddy Ryan teams, like, I love those teams. I love the defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I gravitate more to Randall, but, like, you know, he was kind of my guy. But I heard you talk about Doc. I mean, there's, you know, he's, if there's another Eagle, and just, you know, just, and I heard him on your station the other morning with Mark Farzetta. I mean, like, he inspired me just listening to him the other morning. Like, forget about football. Just, like, you know, just listening to him speak is just, you know, just such a joy. And just to hear people with positive messages like that, you know, and but there's so much negativity and cynicism in the world, and, you know, it really helps you, especially at a time like this. So Doc would be one of my guys. And then, interestingly, kind of the opposite of Doc a little bit was Charles Barkley. Kind of just like anti, like, didn't want to be a role model. I loved Charles growing up, and I liked that he was kind of outspoken, and I liked that.
Same
he was,
here, yeah. I agree. Like, an athlete should not be anyone's role model. Now, that you should live your life trying to be a role model, but as a parent, I'm not going to look at an athlete and tell my kids to model themselves after an athlete.
No, I think all adults have a responsibility to kids to try and be examples for kids. And if I had to say one thing to Charles, that's what I would say. But I agree that, like, your first role model should be your parent. Like, if you're looking into an athlete, and as we've known, Rob, over the years, like, all the athletes that we idolize, or, you know, people idolize, you know, aren't always what they're cracked up to be. Now,
of course.
Oh, we're talking. Now, there are tons, and most guys in sports and athletes that I've talked to are good guys. But there are some, like, I love Lenny Dykstra, you know, and I still love Lenny Dykstra as a player. You
the
know,
player. The player.
Right? But, like, you know, Lenny Dykstra, the person, you know, is not someone like, you know, like, I, you know, not someone you want your kids to.
Absolutely.
So, but then the Phillies, like, you know, Chase Utley is kind of my guy, just because of the way he plays. Like, you know, if I, you know, when my kids play, my daughter plays softball, my son plays baseball, like, that's the way I want him to play. You know, I want him to play like Utley. And, you know, and you mentioned about me, like, you know, that's one of the things about with doing this, like, I kind of feel like I need to kind of put myself out there on Twitter and social media and stuff. And, was a little bit uncomfortable for me because I, you know, trying, like I said, keep a bit of a low profile. Like
but you have to. This the day and age where, it sometimes there's like there's people who go way above him and overboard, but I mean, you really have to. You really have to use every channel, every avenue, every platform that you have. And I think you're doing a fantastic job. Before you go, Aaron, I know you miss it. I know you would have been at a ballpark by now. Wow, we're in mid-May at least 10, 15 times. I often run out of steam in the middle of the season and towards the end once the Eagles start. Early on, I try and go, you know, as many games as I can. But when you see this 67-page proposal and you look at all the different variables in the protocol, if you had to ask me, I don't think baseball's coming back this season. How do you look at it?
Well, I don't know how you're going to play baseball without sunflower seeds. I don't know how I could play baseball without sunflower seeds. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't cover a game without sunflower seeds.
And there's so many, like, so many restrictions, and, you know, and it's just, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be so hard to try and do all this, like, and still, like, play the game. You know, you're not going to, you know, you're going to have to sit a certain place in the dugout. The pitchers have their own baseballs or, you know, warm up with their own baseballs. So, you know, you're going to, can't high five, you can't fist bump, you can't shower, you can't go in a taxi. It's just, I mean, at some point, it's like, I don't know. It does. Like you said, it's like, it sounds like it's, you know, it's going to be tough to play in some ways. And that's a shame. Like, I hope that doesn't happen. And, you know, I've been holding out hope all along that they're going to, you know, that they're going to be able to play. But, of course, you know, my biggest thing is I want everything to be safe for everybody. I don't want anyone to go out there
and
put themselves at risk, you know, their families at risk unnecessarily.
I don't know how we're going to do it, Aaron. Like, if are they going to allow media access? I have no idea. And I think there's certainly a long way to go because you got the owners, you got the players, you got the 67-page protocol, you got all these variables. We'll see. But in the meantime, man, keep doing your thing. Appreciate you hopping on. You can be you can follow Aaron Bracey on Twitter, Aaron_Bracey. You can also go to BraceySportsMedia.com. He's got a podcast that comes out Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Really interesting guests and does a great job. Aaron, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate everything you do for me and for everyone, and always, you know, having a nice positive message for the people out there that help.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care.
All right, Bob. Have a great day.
All right, man. And I hope Aaron can get to the ballpark. I hope we can all get to the park. He loves baseball, man. He loves it. He absolutely loves baseball. I love baseball. Baseball was my first love. And then I fell in love with football when Buddy got here. But baseball for me was my first love. Like, what I miss right now is playing. I just love playing. Last year, my season got cut short. In end of June, like June 30th, I tore a muscle in my chest and my pec area, and that was it. It ended my season. So I haven't played now since almost a full year, and I loved it. I love getting out there, and I love playing baseball. I love hitting balls in the gas. But actually, I love fielding grounders. I love fielding grounders. I love turning double plays and doing it, just trying to hit line. Everybody thinks I try and jack the ball. I like to hit line drives in the gap, man. I like to do that. But baseball's fun. Softball, of course, I played that a lot. That's how I got hurt last year. And I missed that. I missed that, playing the game. So we'll see. It's a 67-page proposal. It's lengthy. It's got a ton of information in it, and I think that there's a lot that they have to come to before we see it out there. But we've been having some fun this afternoon. You just heard Aaron Bracey. He ran down some of his guys in sports, and he went back to his childhood. We all do. We go back to our childhood. I gave you my 80s players in Philly, my 90s, gave you my 2000s except Sixers. So I gave you Rollins, Simone Gagné, and Brian Dawkins. And with the Sixers, I'm going to go AI. He's a Hall of Famer. I covered the Sixers up until like 04, and I enjoyed Allen Iverson. I just enjoyed Allen Iverson. And there was, I think it was the year 2000, 2001, the year they ended up going to the finals. And I remember just getting Karen Frascona, who was the Sixers director of communications at the time. I told her early in the season, looks like you guys are going to have a great year. And I want to sit down with AI. And she's like, you know, it's hard to pin down and when we're going to get on which day. And I had to go up to PCOM. I would go there for practice. And we just sat down outside of practice one day and talked for a long time, man. And when you talk to AI, he's captivating when you get to connect with him like that. So I just really appreciate it. And I know, man, he went through a lot, and he didn't help himself doing some things, but it's hard not to like Allen Iverson. So that was my 2000s guy. Now I love seeing him down there, man. I love seeing him down at the center and just get an opportunity to talk to him every now and then. So that's my guy.
I love my little dudes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who's your guy? Who's your Sixers 2000s, Josh? We gave out everything but Sixers 2000s.
Yeah, you're overthinking it if it's not Allen Iverson. I mean, just thinking about them going to the finals against the Lakers, they built a team around AI, winning that first game at the Staples Center. You actually thought you had a chance because you had AI on your team.
Someone tweeted at me, Eric Snow, man.
Honestly, if somebody asked me who's the second player you think of in like just the early 2000s, I'd say okay, maybe Eric Snow, just because he's also in the backcourt. But no, it's AI.
There's reasons people don't like AI, right? Dustin goes Eric Lindros, Brian Dawkins, AI, Chase Utley. Jonathan, he didn't send that, but there's a bunch of guys. I'll read some of those out. Bill from King of Prussia, hang on. I'll get to you as soon as we come back. 610-632-0975. Your four players in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s. Any four players, one from each sport. Your guys in Philly. And also, you want to talk about baseball. What do you think with this 67-page proposal? There's a lot of restrictions. A ton. I don't know how you get 1,500 guys to follow all these rules. I don't think you can get 1,500 guys to do everything that's outlined in a 67-page proposal. Somebody along the way is going to mess it up. They're going to just go do their thing. It's what happens. And I feel we might not see baseball till 2021. They may try NBA, but I don't know how they can succeed. It's difficult, but that's fine. We're having some fun. We're talking different topics, different things, going back to our childhoods. Give me your guys, 610-632-0975. Bill, again, hang on. I promise I'll get to you next. You can join the conversation after Bill. I got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back, Rob Motti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Bill has been nice enough to hang on. He's in King of Prussia, and he's on The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Like everybody else, I'm trying to get by day by day right now, Rob. So
positive perspective, my man. Keep that positive perspective.
So all you can do in these times, but as far as your four, I'll get to them real quick, and then I have a point about sports coming back.
Sure.
My four, I was born in 85, so that was kind of middle of the 90s was when I was kind of coming into my own. And so for me, as much as I loved Dutch, I loved Kruk.
Mm.
Kruk to me was awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people loved it, and he was so identifiable, right?
Oh yeah, because he had the big Santa belly and just didn't care, but he could rake—that's for sure. My eagle was Ricky Waters because, like one of the previous callers said, just I remembered it for who, for what, but at the time I was too young for it to really bother me. But his production was unspeakable. I mean, the years he had.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
He was always a good running back. Hockey was Lindros. My dad had season tickets to the Flyers, so I got to witness him firsthand, which was absolutely awesome. And then my Sixers is going to be a little weird because he wasn't there very long. But for some reason, Dana Barros.
Yeah?
For some reason. I don't know why, but yeah.
Didn't he have a 50-point game, Bill?
He did have a 50-point game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know that's very outside the box, but for some reason, like I said, he only had, I think, a 2 or 3 year stint with the Sixers, but something about him just, at that time, at that age, he was a gunner. He was a three-point guy. So something about it just drew me to him, and I enjoyed watching him.
And then somebody else gave me Dana Barros on Twitter. And he, you know, it's kind of like my guy for Flyers for the 80s is Ron Flockhart. He was only there 2.5, 3 years. But some guys, you're just drawn to them. You don't know why. God. Some reason, you know, something about them makes you a fan. Dana Barros, actually, yep. He averaged almost 21 points a game in 94-95.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I think he was like 20, a little over 20 and a half, I think.
Yep, 20.6. That was his best year.
Rob, the gentleman you just had on, how do you spell his last name? Is it a Y or an I-E?
Y, B-R-A-C-Y, Aaron Bracey.
Okay, he was an excellent interview, and I really appreciate you having him on. But
thank you, good dude.
As far as sports coming back, as much as I would want it to come back and I'd miss being able to watch games, I just don't think it's going to be feasible for a lot of these leagues. I think there's way too many red tape and things you have to get through that I'm starting to get to the point where I'm just resigned to the fact that it's not coming back this year. We're just going to have to grit our teeth and bear it and move on with life, worry about the things that matter, family and all that, and deal with the important things. And when they do finally have testing in place that people can be safe, then we go back to getting live sports. But I appreciate you taking my call, Rob. You have a great rest of your day. Thank you again.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Good call. And, I wonder if more people kind of feel like Bill, kind of start the longer we go, and then when you see the extent of what it looks like it would take for sports to try to come back with a 67-page document, man. 67-page document. That is, wow, that is just so, so crazy. All the variables involved, everything in there. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know how they could do it. And does that mean, you know, are you now maybe resigned to the fact that, all right, this is going to be a while? And you know, he made some interesting points. You take care of the important things in life. First of all, your health and your family. That's got to be first and foremost, right? You take care of that stuff, and I don't know. They're going to try. There's so much money. Of course, there's so much money involved in this that they want to try. But there are a lot of factors here involved, a lot of factors. So I don't want to be a downer. I don't want to be negative. I talk about and preach about a positive perspective. I'm just trying to be realistic. That's my opinion. I don't think that it's going to be easy. And if I had to go one or the other, I lean towards no. I think there's just too much involved for them to try and come back. I, the players we've seen.
I agree with what you're saying. The midday show ran a poll where 51% of people said they'd want baseball back given the current state, and 49% said no. And Andrew and I got in a discussion yesterday where he said he thought that kind of showed like who the diehards were. And in my opinion, I don't think that makes you a diehard or not. I think it's just priorities. People look at it as this is something bigger than sports. And can you come back safe? How are you going to implement this? Is it going to be stripped down from what you remember the sport as?
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, I think, though, Josh, some of the ideas, you know, I think, would you agree a DH universal, it should be? It's been long overdue.
Yeah.
Some of those ideas. And when you look at what Bryce Harper put together, man, he put a lot of thought out. I love that World Series 2-week round robin Little League World Series format. It seems fun. The double headers on Sundays, they seem fun. Is there anything in that sticks out to you that you go, yeah, I like that? That maybe not only should you try it now, but carry it over.
I'm out on it. And the reason why is I think too much is different. You know how we get callers who call in and they have these ideas, but it's all over the place. And that's kind of how this idea feels. All right, so we're doing 7 innings. We're going to be off on some Mondays and Sundays or whatever, but then we're also doing double headers, and then we're going to get to the playoffs, and it's not if you lose the series, you're out. We're doing College World Series where you kind of go into the loser bracket, yeah, essentially. And I just think it's too much.
They're not going to do, and I don't think they implement that part of Bryce Harper's. They're not playing 135 games either. You're not going to. Bryce Harper, he may already have received some pushback from the union. Like, yo, dude, what are you saying? Can't play 135 at this point. We're in mid-May. You're going to have to get to spring training. He's talking about starting in July, extending the season, all that. There's a lot, man. There's a lot that goes into this. And that's why today I wanted to lighten it up a little bit, because the harsh reality is, it's going to be difficult to see if sports can come back. My buddy Jasper Lucas, who listens to the show and tweets throughout, and I always appreciate him doing that. He said, anyone who thinks baseball players can play without spitting is delusional. You're not going to stop MLB players from spitting. That's what they do. I don't know. How do you enforce that even? How do you enforce that? I don't know. He gave me his 4, though. We're trying to lighten the mood and come up with our 4 guys in Philly sports. One guy from each team from each decade. And Jasper's were Randall, Dr. J, Bobby Clark. He goes Ryan Howard. He was one player when he came to the plate. I stopped what I was doing to watch. You knew he could take one out at any time. Man, Ryan Howard, the year he hit 56 homers and hit over 300, That was a special, special year. He was fun to watch. And talk about a good dude, too. Ryan Howard was such a good dude. Always accountable. Here's the thing about Ryan. So, you know, Ryan, Chase, and J-Roll. Post-game, okay? Post-game, if you're a writer, you know you got deadlines, and you want to get in, get out, get your quotes, talk to the guys, get out because you got deadlines. Ryan Howard is the best player who was most accessible that I ever seen. There was no more player more accessible that had a greater resume than Ryan Howard. Always at his locker after the game, 0 for 5 or 5 for 5, 5 Ks or 3 homers. Always, right after the game, he got it, he understood, and he never changed from who he was as a kid all the way throughout. Chase, forget about it. Unless it was a day game and you had time to wait him out, he had his post-game routine, eating, lifting, video work, showering. By the time he got to his locker, most of the media was way past their deadlines.
Do you think some things like that, and especially how we remember Ryan Howard, why people have been coming around the past couple years on Howard, whereas, you know, obviously things didn't end as well. There were some boos going in there. But past couple years, it seems like people are coming around on Howard, whereas we've seen beloved Philadelphia athletes kind of almost tarnish their legacy after their playing days. Do you think that kind of goes into it a bit too?
I think so. I mean, I don't think fans know this stuff unless, I mean, you've heard me say it. You may have heard other people who you're not going to hear radio guys because they're not in the locker room covering and writing and deadlines. So there's not that appreciation for it. So unless, you know, I'm sure there's been other beat writers who've talked about it at some point on different platforms. I hope so. And Ryan Howard never put his foot in his, you know, never stuck his foot in his mouth, never said anything.
That's exactly it, the way he presents himself. Really, so while I'm not inside the locker room, I see him, I'm like, he presents well. He seems like a likable, down-to-earth guy.
Totally. Absolutely. Maintained that throughout. And just to give the people that insight, like, he was, you appreciated him, man. We appreciated him. Back then, for a five-year period there, I was the president of the Philadelphia chapter of the Baseball Writers Association. And Ryan Howard, at least one year, got what we call the Good Guy Award, the Tug McGraw Good Guy Award, accessible, that kind of thing. Could have given it to him every year. You really could have. And we had a Steve Carlton Award for the MVP pitcher, Mike Schmidt Award for MVP player. And he I'm sure he got that too, the at least one time. But and then J-Roll, he was in between Howard and Chase. He would get to the locker before Chase, so you could get him, but he always wanted to be dressed, earrings in, everything. You know, you had to wait him out a little bit. J-Roll was a little diva. Yeah, I'd say that to him. And but Ryan and Shane Victorino, see, Ryan Howard and Shane Victorino lockered near at one point near each other. Then they were across from each other. They were always accessible. But Shane loved the spotlight. See, he loved an interview. Ryan understood that that was part of what you have to do. There's another Ryan story, Ryan Howard appreciation story that I want to give people to. Well, I'll hold on to that and give it to you when we come back. And so you and I got through our 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So it's time to get into the 2010s. This is where I have difficulty because they're guys for different reasons. So, but they're all great players. My guy, they're all great players, but they're all for different reasons for me. So I got my guys in the 2010s, and I'll give you that. But I want to give you another one of my Ryan Howard appreciation stories. 610-632-0975. Your favorite players from each team in Philly, each decade, one from each team, 80s, 90s, 2000s. And your thoughts on baseball's proposal, your realistic thoughts. I got open lines for you, 610-632-0975. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic. On 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with you. Hanging out till 8 p.m. Josh, you've kept yourself well groomed during this pandemic. I see you're not growing a crazy beard. Your hair's not wild. You cut it yourself. What do you do?
So I kind of have an ace up my sleeve in the way of my mother. So she actually owns her own hair salon, obviously isn't operating right now through there, but she's able to come to my place and give me a haircut.
So you're well-groomed. I'm shaving. I told everybody yesterday I would love to grow a beard, but my daughters complain because every time I kiss them on the cheek 1,000 times a day, they're like, no, that's too, it hurts. So I can't. Otherwise, I would grow the beard. Plus, there's too much upkeep in a beard, right? There's too much.
Right.
I feel like you got to keep it. If you want to grow it and neatly trim it, of course, some folks are letting them go crazy. But what we're doing here at 97.5 The Fanatic, we want to see your quarantine quaff. Quaff is just a funny word, man. Or your crazy beard. So you go to 975thefanatic.com, 975thefanatic.com. Go there right now. You submit a photo of your crazy hair, your crazy beard, and we will feature your picture in our gallery each day. So if you're letting yourself go, if you're doing all that stuff, all right, hey, it's all good. Let's see it. Let's see it. So I told you I was going to give you one of my Ryan Howard appreciation stories. Let's see what my buddy Jasper says again. Ryan Howard, in my opinion, was the most important player during that Phillies run. He was the catalyst. You remove him from that team, the Phillies don't win
one World Series and go to another. There's a reason why after he was injured, the Phillies didn't win. It's hard to pick the most important player. It comes down to me between Howard and J-Roll. I go with J-Roll because he played shortstop. He was the MVP in '07. He didn't win the World Series that year, but they went to the playoffs. I go J-Roll more than Ryan Howard. But, man, you put Howard averaged... He averaged 43 homers and 135 RBI, somewhere around there, for that six-year span. Those are incredible, incredible numbers. What's Bill say? Ryan Howard was at a bar up in Kutztown. I was like 22, 23. Accessible, taking pictures, generally a good dude. Bill, that's Bill from King of Prussia. Thanks, Bill. He really was. He really, really was always and still is a good dude. So one year, it was the year that Ryan Howard was Rookie of the Year. So that was 06 when he was the MVP. 05, he was Rookie of the Year. So when he was Rookie of the Year, 05, Philly still had Tommy. Ryan Howard was good enough to start the season with the team, but he didn't. So I'm in Clearwater, and my girlfriend at the time, this is 5 years before I met Remy. I always got to qualify all these things, so I'm just making sure. My girlfriend at the time was with me, and we were flying back from Clearwater at the end of spring training. And, you know, one of the airlines doesn't give you assigned seating, and it's first come, first serve, depending on your zone or whatever. We get on the plane. And this is 05. We get on the plane, and there are not two seats together. Can't sit. We couldn't sit there. So we're a couple. We couldn't sit next to each other. I look on the plane, and I see three Phillies players who didn't make the team. So they're flying commercial, heading to, I don't know if it was Scranton at the time or Lehigh, whatever AAA team the Phillies had in 2005. One of those guys was Ryan Howard. I can't remember the other two. And Ryan Howard got up out of his seat and said, come on, you two can sit together. I mean, and this is Ryan Howard before he goes on to have his Rookie of the Year and then MVP. But I'll bet you, well, Ryan Howard won't be in that situation anymore. Maybe he is, but he would still do that to this day. So that's a Ryan Howard appreciation story. Yeah,
I mean, that was a lot better than I thought the story was going.
you thought I was going to give you a Ryan Howard appreciation story that went in a different direction?
Well, I don't know. I kind of got lost in the track of the story. I figured it's an ex-girlfriend. She sat next to a Philly, and that's how she became the ex-girlfriend.
No. She became an ex-girlfriend because I was a jackhole as a boyfriend. That's why. I was a... Yeah, I didn't. It took me till 2010 till I matured, grew up, and really figured life out. And it was all because of my faith in 2010. But before that, man, I was not. What's Jasper saying now? One more thing is my man Joe Torti always says, always felt it was a shame Ryan Howard wasn't brought up sooner. That's exactly what we're talking about. Jim Tony was a great player, Hall of Famer. Ryan Howard missed several years because, yeah, that is, man. Because I look, now as I look at, on Ryan Howard's career, and I look at Ryan Howard's career, and when I get his name on my Hall of Fame ballot, I'm going to want to, you look at it and you go, man, he doesn't have the longevity. He doesn't. He don't have the numbers. He didn't hit 500 homers, which now guys still don't automatically get in anymore, right? He wasn't at that level longevity wise, but you go 2006 to 2011 and Ryan Howard averaged 44 and 133. Those for a 6 year period are Hall of Fame numbers. So if he could have done that, now he came up in 2005 at 25 years old. And he played 88 games after Tommy got hurt, and he was the Rookie of the Year. Hit .288, 22 homers, 63 RBIs in 88 games. In 2004, he barely got a cup of coffee.
So I want to see Ryan Howard's minor league stats. Because Ryan, I don't know how we get on this Ryan Howard. But, and I want to see also where he was headed to in 2005. Because when we were on that plane together, 2005, Ryan Howard was, there's another Ryan Howard I pulled up. Did you know there's a Ryan Howard who's a shortstop for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the AA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants? So when I looked up Ryan Howard's minor league stats, that's what I got. Ryan Howard from the Richmond Squirrels.
It probably has like 40 stolen bases. You're like, wow.
Yeah, like what? Okay, so 2004, Ryan Howard went. He was going to, yeah, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. Huh? All right. That was the triple A affiliate. That year he had 37 homers in double A. He had 9 in triple A, 46 total. And in 2005, when we thought he should have started to see, he went to triple A Scranton. He hit 16 homers. He batted .371. They finally brought him up when Tommy got hurt. But yeah, as Jasper and he's saying, Joe says this all the time, man. It 2 more years out of Ryan Howard, and it's unfortunate what happened to him at the end of his career. Because here's a guy who was on pace to just, you look at those numbers, Hall of Fame numbers, man, Hall of Fame numbers. 610-632-0975. You know, if you got an appreciation story for Ryan or anybody else you want to give, I want to hear it. Josh and I still have to give you our 2010 Core Four, our Philly, our Sixer, our Flyer, our Eagle. Don't have to be the best player. It could be the most identifiable player, as Josh said earlier, or someone you relate to because maybe you have something in common, or someone who was just your favorite for any reason. Just your guy, for whatever reason. We gave you our 80s, our 90s, and our zeros. We're going to give you our 2010s. I'm going to start with Eagles when we come back. I'm going to give you my Eagles guy. So 610-632-0975. You could join the conversation that way. And if you want to get into the baseball proposal, what your thoughts are on that, and if they're going to come back, I got open lines for you. You can also join the program and discuss that. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.